In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 24, we are told about how the prophet Elijah stood up in faith before the prophets of Baal. Brother David Johnson will tell us about this event on today's sermon entitled, Waver Between Two Opinions. You are listening to the Words of Life program, brought to you by Churches of Christ and other believers. We are dedicated to serving you with this broadcast. You can expect a blessing as you listen first to songs of worship, prayer, and Brother Johnson's sermon.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father, for blessing our lives. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and for loving us so very much that we can spend eternity with you. We also thank you for those who are faithful to you in life and in fellowship. Please give your listeners a healing, peace, and convictions that are needed as they serve you. Bless each minister and missionary and faithful servant with your help to stand firm against Satan's opposition. And Lord, when Jesus comes to receive his own, help us to be ready to see him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, Waver Between Two Opinions.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God and make personal application. The title for the lesson is, Waver Between Two Opinions. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 16 through 24. We'll read the text in the body of the lesson as we go through the text. At crucial times in life, there needs to be a time to choose, to make a firm decision. For example, in America, in the United States, actually, it wasn't the United States yet, but it was during the American Revolution. On March 23rd, 1775, a young, fiery, red-headed lawyer stood in a church in Richmond, Virginia. He had a rallying challenge. He was angry and agitated by what seemed to him to be an endless debate about the next response the colonists should take in their conflict with King George III and Great Britain. A firm decision was needed. His name? Patrick Henry. He could not contain himself any longer. His impassioned speech ended with these words, quote, "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." End quote. 70 years later, in our nation, as the tensions that would explode into our American Civil War, the poet James Russell Lowell wrote of another decision that had to be made individually and as a nation regarding the continued union, the union of states, over the slavery issue. The poet described what he entitled, quote, "The Present Crisis." He wrote, "Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or for the evil side." End of quote. Society usually does not feel very comfortable with either or choices. In our so-called post-Christian culture, in North America and in much of Europe, the majority prefer to embrace a both-and position. Most want to multiply options, to insist that we should blend differences and perspectives. Today, the bywords to celebrate are diversity, tolerance, even to embrace ambiguity and uncertainty. The goal insisted upon is usually personal opinion. It's a modern mindset that values every moral or spiritual viewpoint, even to the point of considering it arrogant to hold just one absolute position, that it is intolerant to call someone to choose or commit rather than to accept all choices equally. Ours is a time that promotes pluralism, relativism, inclusivism at all costs. Actually, in some areas of life, regarding equality, this is a valuable and needed belief, such as the inherent value of every single human being, whether unborn or born, the inherent value of every single human being. However, for Bible-believing Christians, there is one formidable exception, the living God, the Lord of heaven and earth, versus every other god, religion, or philosophy. According to the Bible, God insists not only on our loyalty, that it must be our exclusive loyalty to Him alone. The living God will not allow Himself to be reduced to one possibility in a cafeteria of spiritual options. That is, many different spiritual options. There are no equals to the God of the Bible. There is no middle ground. A choice, a decision must be made for or against the living God. Jesus Christ Himself stated in Matthew, in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me." Every accountable human being must choose. Few Old Testament stories are as relevant to the modern mindset as the challenge and ultimate choice for the living God, as our text lays out. A brief context will suffice. After over 3 years of drought, God summons His prophet, Elijah, to press the issue of whether His people, Israel, will commit to Yahweh, to the Lord, or continue worshiping the false god Baal. B as in Bob, A-A-L, Baal. Our text vividly shows the stark differences between God and Baal, in which there is no middle ground, no compromise, no inclusive loyalty possible. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 and 17. So, Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" We should understand that Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord, according to 1 Kings 18 and verse 3. Obadiah facilitated the meeting between the evil king Ahab with God's true prophet Elijah. The words "you troubler" was the evil king Ahab's accusation against Elijah. Ahab's accusation was that Elijah was to blame for the Lord's judgment upon Israel. The Lord's judgment was drought that had also caused famine, which had lasted over 3 years across Israel. And we know this by comparing 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1 with, in the New Testament, James chapter 5 and verse 17, that states that it was a drought for 3.5 years. Ahab attempted to shift the blame and frighten Elijah. However, Elijah was not intimidated in the least. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 18. "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals." Israel's ultimate problem was not lack of rain, but instead the lack of loyalty and obedience to the one true God, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of Israel. Ahab and his house, because of their heinous sin and rebellion, had drawn divine judgment. Elijah's main purpose was not to lay the blame on Ahab, but rather to call the entire nation to repentance. national repentance. So Elijah proposed a tremendous challenge for the people of Israel in a most public way. Listen, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 through 20. "Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel was a high ridge that rose out of the Mediterranean Sea to a height of about 1,800 feet, stretching for about 30 miles to the southern region of Phoenicia, modern-day Lebanon, which was an area often claimed by pagans, believers in many gods, as a home of the gods, and had long been associated with the worship of Baal. Baal literally means lord or owner. Baal was the prominent god of the Canaanites. They had many false gods. They were pagans. He was the storm god. Baal was the storm god, who it was believed provided the rain necessary for the fertility of the land. The worship of Baal had infiltrated Israel long before the time of King Ahab. However, King Ahab, gave Baal official standing through building a temple for him, for Baal. Asherah was the goddess, sister wife of Baal, and goddess of fertility, as it was believed. Jezebel was the pagan wife of King Ahab, therefore queen, who promoted Baal worship, who killed true prophets of the Lord and oppressed Elijah. So having thrown down the gauntlet, that is the challenge, to Ahab, Elijah issued his second challenge to his people Israel. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing, nada, niet. Waver between two opinions is an unusual expression that, translated from the original Hebrew language, literally means to limp or hobble between two sticks or crutches. Israel had not totally rejected the Lord, not totally, but was trying to combine worship of Yahweh, of the Lord, with worship of Baal. The people, therefore, were attempting to hold together two mutually exclusive loyalties to two different gods, as it was believed, which is impossible, at least to the believer in the God of the Bible. It was time to choose the Lord or Baal. Notice Elijah's speech drew no initial response. The people said nothing. They felt no need, no desire to choose. In spite of what Elijah said, they wanted both Baal and the Lord. Each had something to offer the people of Israel. Baalism, the worship of Baal, did not require a choice. You could be a faithful follower of Baal and still follow the Lord in their minds. They were pagans. They believed in, that is, those that did follow many gods were pagans. The Israelites weren't pagans. But Baalism tolerated belief in other gods. Why couldn't the Lord be equally accommodating? If there was truth in both religions, why not blend them together in an inclusive faith and worship? Why not? Does this sound familiar? So rather than just relying on his words, Elijah sought a visible sign from heaven, from God, to help the people to choose Baal or the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 22 through 24. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull, B-U-L-L, bull, and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, Baal, and I will call on the name of the Lord, Yahweh. God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Since Baal's followers believed Baal controlled thunder, lightning, and storms, as he was considered the storm god, and on the Lord's side, it was believed he is the God of the heavens, that this would prove to be a fair test to show who was truly, supremely God. Now, let's stop here and consider this. How does this Old Testament lesson, written thousands of years ago, challenge us today? As Bible-believing Christians, we face this type challenge continually. Really? We face it spiritually in having to live in a society that insists, particularly today, on pluralism and absolute tolerance. Tolerance in some ways is not wrong. However, when Bible-believing Christians are tempted to deny the exclusive reality of the one true God of the Bible, or similarly, to deny the Lord Jesus Christ as deity in bodily form, the Lord, then we've crossed over to the inclusive society that claims all religions, all faiths, all beliefs are valid and equally true. Then we cave morally when we as Christians try to blend unbiblical lifestyle with biblical godly living. We fail relationally when we allow anyone or anything to take precedence over Jesus Christ, who must be Lord, over, for example, the gods of wealth, the gods of prestige and human wisdom, and many other gods today. Wavering between opinions has become philosophically respectable, but it's biblically impossible. When it comes to God and His will, revealed in His Word, the Bible, we must choose God's absolute truth regarding especially spiritual and moral issues. Middle ground, neutrality, wavering are not the true Christian's options. So, dear listener, we and you must make a firm decision. For God in Jesus Christ as Lord over all.
Yeah.
Are you a follower of Jesus, or are you also wavering in your decision? As we learn today, it is important to make a decision to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that people who believe in Jesus are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, request broadcast number 2343. That's 2343. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.